Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, the World Affairs Council of Western Michigan presents its 2026 Great Decisions beginning February 3rd. We get a preview. Enjoy an intimate evening with two local musicians as they share their inspirations, creative processes, and personal journeys through music at Songs and Sips. Josh Block joins in to talk about his new book, People Matter at Work. The Michigan International Auto Show opens this week. We have a preview, and we preview this week's new episode of Mutually Inclusive.
Attend the Great Decisions 2026 lineup ready. World Affairs Council of Western Michigan, Michael Van Denen is ready as well. What a lineup yet again. I say that every year, Michael.
Oh, well, thank you, Shelley. Appreciate it. And delighted to be here. Would risk any weather debacle to be here.
I'm glad you made it safely because I would have felt badly.
We are delighted. The World Affairs Council of Western Michigan, we've been around for over 75 years. We're one of the oldest World Affairs Councils in the United States, of which there are 90 of them. And we are delighted every year to partner with the Ford Presidential Museum and the Ford Presidential Foundation to present what's called Great Decisions. And it's 8 straight weeks, mostly on Tuesday evenings from 6 to 7:15 at the Ford Museum. It's open to everyone. Everyone may come. And we also have a little reception gathering time, coffee hour from 5:15 to 6 right before each program. And what we're trying to do, Shelley, is just bring 8 global topics. We are nonpartisan. We have authentic and very smart people coming, and it's simply to open up a part of our dialogue with the world and about the world for people.
Nice. Yeah. All right, so we start strong. Let's go through this February 3rd through March 24th.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious, you start strong with an NPR correspondent.
Yay! We always try to have someone from NPR come, because now when we talk about one of our values is credibility. And that's where credibility comes from in terms of journalism is NPR. So Emily Fang, who is NPR's China correspondent, she is coming on Tuesday, February 3, 6 p.m. at the Ford Museum. And she's going to talk about what inside China, what's it like to live inside China, China's identity for people. I guess we call it identity and belonging in Xi Jinping's China. And she's just written an amazing book, Only the Red Flowers Bloom. And it is about living in China and Hong Kong. And fantastic. So we are delighted. China's always been on our 8 topics of recent years. Yeah. People are fascinated with China, and we've got a lot going on with China. So Emily Fang from NPR on China on February 3. And then we talk about the international order. And what that is all the post-World War II agencies that America took the lead on, the UN, NATO, Marshall Plan, other kinds of things, international treaties. And our own Joel Westra, right here from Calvin University, is working on a book on this very topic. So when this when we saw this topic come from the Foreign Policy Association, we knew we had to get Joel Westry in to talk about it. So will international order survive? And there's a lot of, there's perfectly timely to talk about with what's gone on with NATO and Greenland and all the discussions that have been happening with our allies.
Yes, that's February
and then
10th,
our
yes.
Our third week on February 18th, this is where we're not going to be on a Tuesday.
It's
and
a
we're
Wednesday.
Not going to be on in the Ford Museum. That's because on Wednesday, February 18th, Ambassador Bridget Brink, who is an East Grand Rapids native, is coming back to talk about Ukraine. She was the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine. What's been happening lately in Ukraine? And there probably isn't another American who knows more about Ukraine than Bridget Brink. And we thought it would be a delight to have her at her alma mater. So that conversation on Wednesday, February 18, is in East Grand Rapids High School. It's at the high school itself. They were delighted to host us and welcome an alumna back, and that is going to be spectacular. February 24, we go back to the Ford on a Tuesday, and we're going to talk about Africa. And we have the president of the American Association of Geographers coming, Bill Mosley. He is known everywhere about his knowledge about the continent. On March 3, Hardy Merriman, who ran the International Center for Nonviolent Conflict. He's going to talk about countering authoritarianism.
Goodness.
On March 10, we have another ambassador coming. We're delighted. And he's fantastic. Ambassador Michael McKinley, who was the former U.S. ambassador to Peru, Colombia, Afghanistan, and Brazil. So he's going to talk about U.S. and a changing global order with a focus on Latin America, which, of course, again, with the issues in Venezuela and Colombia, is very much on the front burner. March 17 is nuclear risk with an expert on that topic, Paige Stoutland. And we wind up on March 24 with talking about the global economy at home, and we are bringing some local practitioners who do global business and who deal with issues of tariffs, who deal with issues of conflict across countries. How does all of this affect our global economy, and how does the global economy affect us at home? Because people want to know, oh, does this affect me? And I can tell you from my years at the World Affairs Council, whatever happens around the world does affect us profoundly. So these are mostly on Tuesday evenings, 6 to 7:15 p.m., Ford Presidential Museum, worldmichigan.org is how you can find out more about the presenters and the topics and everything else. And we would be delighted for our West Michiganders to become more globally aware.
And a reminder, again, always enthralled with the speakers, but you allow questions from us in the audience.
Oh, we do. I mean, that is part of our brand, is that we do not have long speeches by our presenters. They introduce us to the topic. We have some moderated conversation, and then we open it up to the audience. And I'll tell you, I am so proud of West Michiganders, because to a person, our presenters say, wow, these people know it. They know this subject. They've studied up. These are great questions. And so we try to do both. We want to bring these people in to educate us at West Michigan, but we want to impress our ambassadors and diplomats and think tank leaders about West Michiganders and how much they care about these subjects. So all are welcome.
Just like the executive director, caring very much.
Yeah.
All right, back to square one. Again, Emily Feng, international correspondent. I'm sure we'll hear her voice between now and next next Tuesday,
don't
you think? All right, and again, it is all part of the eight topics that are selected by the Foreign Policy Association. So you're right, with other councils, probably one of the strongest. Can I say that?
I would think we are. Thanks to the people of West Michigan. The Foreign Policy Association in New York, since the early 1950s, has done the Great Decision Series, and they pick eight topics that they think every American community should know more about and be talking about. They give us those eight topics around Labor Day. We work hard to bring awesome people into West Michigan to talk about them. That's what we do.
I always love it when the lineup is out.
Yeah.
All right, one more time, how to find out more information, Michael.
worldmichigan.org. You'll find everything you need.
That's
thanks, Shelley.
You are welcome. Let's enjoy an intimate evening come the latter part of February. Two local musicians will share their inspirations, creative processes, and personal journeys through music. Let's talk to those involved. Glad that you are here, Ethan Engel, Parks and Recreation Department Rec Coordinator. Big job you have in the Ada world. Good morning to you, Ethan.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Concert Series Director Chris Collins. Good that you are here as well. Teaming up to obviously share what's happening. This is an indoor event. I'll start with you, Ethan.
Yeah, so this is the first time we've ever done this event. We're working really closely with the Ada Historical Society in partnership and trying to find a new way to engage our community in something that's never really been done before. Chris has had some fantastic connections, so I'm going to let him touch base a little more about what the event's going to be. But it's at Roselle Park indoors, very small, intimate setting, so it's a little different than your normal music venue concert hall. So you're going to get up close and personal with these two local artists, and I'm going to let Chris kind of touch base on what the night looks like.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Ethan. Singer-songwriter showcase, modeled a little bit from what I've seen in Nashville. And there are people up here that do this quite a bit. I haven't seen a whole lot of it answered. But again, we've got two good performers. We've got Rin Tarsi and Nathan Walton. And first of all, I want to make sure everybody knows they are local people. I support local musicians.
For that, yes.
Yep, it's something that's very important to me. The two of them, though, are professionals. Rin Tarsi shares a home in Colorado and then here in Michigan, and she is one of the best singer-songwriter storytellers you are ever going to hear. Fantastic musician. Nathan Walton, he's on the same grain, but he was a finalist for American Idol. Back in 21, I believe, if I have that timing right, he won a golden ticket on the first time he was there, sent right to the big show. He missed it. He had to skip a bunch of things to move up, and he did not win. Personal opinion about that, but I won't share it. But no, he was really good.
Well, we get him though.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and he actually got a good props from Lionel Richie. They said his voice is a dynamite. He does Chris Stapleton like Chris Stapleton. I don't, but he's got a really good band too. And both of these musicians will be playing at our Music on the Lawn concert series with their bands.
Later on in the
That's
year.
Later on in the summertime.
That's
yes.
outdoor.
That's outdoor, yes.
When we can get there will be an outdoor. Hold tight. Back to you, Ethan. This is part of a partnership, of course, Parks and Recreation Strong in Ada. How will the evening work?
So doors are going to open on the 28th at 6 p.m., and we've got another local musician that Chris is mentoring. He's going to be playing some nice background music, just kind of set in the evening, and then showcase will start at 7. The other fun part of local is, again, I'm a big supporter of local myself, is we are bringing in Gravel Bottom Brewing Company to provide beer and wine sales, so we will have those available for purchase, and then we'll have some light food, some light snacks as well, too, included as a part of the ticket fee, so you will have that there. So the showcase will start at 7, run through 9. The difference you have with that, though, is you do have to buy tickets ahead of time. We won't have any on-site ticket sales because we are so limited in our capacity. I mean, you're talking 60 people that get to witness this event. So very small, very intimate. So I would encourage you guys to roll in right when doors open, get your drinks, enjoy the music, chat with you if you've got friends coming, and then we'll get the show going 6:45, 7 o'clock. We will turn it over to our MC, Mr. Chris Collins, and our two artists.
Yes, add to that, Chris.
Yeah, it's I think it's going to be really nice. We're going to set this up so people can get up and maybe use a restroom or something without interfering what we're doing. I'm going to ask everybody to silence their phones. You know, different things like that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Just we want them to pay attention to the people that are playing. That's what we're looking for. And they'll go back and forth playing songs, talking about the songs, back and forth, one and the other one. And then also what will happen is we'll have a little point where people can ask questions too. Can't take a lot of time doing that, but we want to make sure that you get some of your questions answered. And then afterwards, all the singers will be at a table selling their merchandise, and we're going to give them a good half hour or more, whatever it takes, to talk to them, buy stuff from them, find out different things. So
the true definition of intimate, for sure. Singer-songwriter showcase, Songs and Sips, on February 28th. Yep, month from now, but get her done now. Roselle Park in Ada. Ada Historical Society is strong in your own backyard with the whole Ada Center, a history center, Ethan, yes?
Yes, yep. We do a lot of partnerships with them. They're a huge component of our Music on the Lawn concert series. And so when this idea got brought forth, it was really simple and easy for me to turn to them, as Chris is an active volunteer with them as well, too, and being like, hey, I need some help. How can we do this? And Chris has been fantastic to work with. We're going to have the Historical Society and some of their volunteers there on site to help with some of the ticket sales for drinks and other things in and around. So it's going to be a real group effort at this point to make it all happen. And they've been a fantastic partner to work with.
Chris Collins, why come see the show?
Best music you're ever going to hear. The best setting. And when we do something as a partnership, we do it right.
Yes. Details one more time for February 28th and how to get my tickets, please.
You got it. So February 28th, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., tickets can be found on the Ada Township Parks and Recreation website. You'll go under the Community Events tab, and then there is a link that'll take you to our software platform. Again, a little different because we are a Parks and Rec department instead of your concert music hall. You do have to pre-register. If you need any assistance in setting up an account, please feel free to give our offices a call or shoot me an email. My contact information is directly on the website. So more than happy to help people get registered, whether it's over the phone or via email. Registration does close February 23rd, or it's first come, first serve. Again, we got about 60 spots at this point, and it's one that we want to make sure that this gets out there for people that are looking for something really cool. The last thing I do want to make sure we mention is that this is an age 21 and up event, with the sales of alcohol on site. So it is, you got to be 21 and up, but we are excited to host and really do something different that not a lot of other communities have the chance to do.
There will be time for the kids come your summertime showcases.
Exactly.
Chris and Ethan, thank you.
You're more than welcome.
My next guest keeps moving with his work. Josh Block in the house, Michigan author and more, Michigan-based business leader. And of course, he practices what he preaches. His message: in a world where AI handles repetitive tasks and decision to support, workplace culture is the next competitive frontier. So let's talk about how to, well, perhaps make that not happen. The book, People Matter at Work, Fostering a Culture Where Team Members Thrive and Everyone Wins, will come out early March. We talk to you, Josh, now. Good morning, Josh Block.
Good morning.
Appreciate you. What's your day job?
So I am just in the process of transitioning. I've been president of Block Imaging for the last 15 years. Also the founder of Cube Mobile Imaging, but I'm, as of March 3rd, going to be launching People Matter at Work and carrying the Block Imaging story out into the world.
You are all about branding. There we are. In layman's terms, so how have you been spending your day? And then we'll get into your authoring.
Yeah, I've had the privilege of leading Block Imaging, which buys and sells radiology equipment, parts, and service. And so we support imaging centers around the nation and really around the world. And so I've been doing that for the last 15 years.
Yes, and I see you grew a global workforce from your Lansing, Michigan base and more. So Cube Mobile Imaging offer mobile imaging solutions. Again, a little out of my comfort zone. So let's get into your book where you would entitle People Matter at Work. We would like to think this is a given, but in many places, it's not.
Yeah, the statistics on workplace engagement are alarming. There's just no doubt about it. And so I happened to grow up in a home where work was a good thing. And in my 20s, kind of got out into the workforce and realized, wow, like work's a four-letter word, and it's case of the Mondays and working for the weekend. And so that kind of collide of my experience and the world's experience and ultimately becoming president of Block Imaging just led me to ask the question, like, what if we could create a place where people love to work and thrive in their work? And so that's been the journey of the last 15 years and ultimately led to the writing of People Matter at Work.
Yes. Just some visuals. Your front cover is People Matter at Work, Fostering a Culture Where Team Members Thrive and Everyone Wins. You underline everyone wins.
Yeah, it's ultimately about the leaders and the team members. And ultimately, a lot of leadership conversations are carrying more bricks in their backpack for leaders. But this is in the we cycle that I talk about in People Matter at Work. When people are cared for, they ultimately trust, they take ownership, and they give back. And it actually perpetuates the we cycle forward and makes it a shared cause so that leaders' burden actually lightens. And that's the hope when we create a culture where everyone wins.
All right. Half a step back. You talk about the me cycle, but we want more than a we. We want more of a we cycle.
Yeah. So in most organizations, the me cycle wins the day, is that bosses are focused on themselves. In turn, employees return the favor, and it's not really fun for anyone. And so when bosses are focused on power, pay, prestige, and position, nobody wins. And so when we shift to the we cycle, bosses become leaders, employees become team members, and all sorts of really cool things start to happen.
How does one know that the shift needs to happen?
Kind of, yeah, ultimately, workplace engagement. There's surveys that are done, but one of the best tests of workplace culture is there laughter? One of the things that leaves an organization when there's not safety or leaves a family when there's not safety is just a lack of laughter. And so that's one test. But we can ask people even when I walk into an organization, you can tell within a couple of minutes, like, is it warm? Is it friendly? Is there collaboration? Are people enjoying working together? How do they go home at the end of the day? These are some tells of whether a place is engaged or whether people are pretty disengaged.
producer Joe brought you in. I like Joe. Does the culture feel pretty good to you so far here?
Yeah, very warm. Obviously warm, especially in light of pretty chilly temperatures outside.
I guess there we are. So let's get into. We can look backward all we want, but we want to shift a workplace from fear and me first to collaboration and shared success. Where do we start?
Yeah, the three T's. When I became president over the course of a weekend at 29 years old, there was so much I didn't know, and yet came across three T's that have really changed the game over the last 15 years. And the first was together is sharpening any decision of consequence in working together. And we're not talking about democracy, but we're talking about strengthening decisions, because ultimately when we work together, we make thoughtful decisions. And thoughtful, everybody tries to make thoughtful decisions, but when we get to the definition, careful consideration of the needs of others is what is it like to be on the other side of that decision? And then the last T was this idea of being transparent, is sharing openly what's going on in the organization. What's the leader thinking about? What's the leader thinking about the team members? And when we lead and work together to make thoughtful decisions and ultimately are transparent about those decisions, it leads to a group of people who feel safe, seen, and successful, and then ultimately stir the we cycle forward.
You show CEOs and small business owners why investing in culture is key to retention and growth. And I like this, not just free snacks or ping pong tables.
Ultimately, culture can be about the soft stuff, but if people matter, performance matters, right? Performance is what allows us to care for people. And so both, it's not an either or. We really want both, but ultimately it's not just about the soft stuff. It's about how we handle crucial conversations, how we hire, how we transition people from the organization. There's a real brass tacks art to culture. And if we believe in people, frankly, we're willing to say hard things, because often when people talk about culture and it's the soft stuff, it's all about ooey gooey cozy water slides and ropes courses. And I really want to dive into not just that side of things, but ultimately really having conversations that believe the best in people.
Yes. Your foreword is by a Krista Cotrola.
Yeah, Krista Cotrola.
Cotrola. Yeah. Well, usually I'm pretty good at control.
Yeah, it's a toughie.
Yes. What does she say?
Yeah, so Krista was actually a part of our team, really a significant piece of our culture for a lot of years before joining the table group, led by Patrick Lencioni, who was really key in my story. I came across the five dysfunctions of a team in 2009, and it was life-changing to me. And so Krista now is part of the table group, and ultimately she talks about the difference between a separation worldview and a connection worldview. She's a dear friend, and I'm so grateful for not only the role she played in Block Imaging, but the role she's playing in shaping organizational health today.
Josh Block in the house, Michigan-based business leader, writing the book People Matter at Work, fostering a culture where team members thrive and everyone wins. Kind of back to where we started, how do we know that this is working?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately,
hearing laughter, I guess.
Yeah, we're certainly hearing laughter, but I think one of the tests as someone who's 44 years old with an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old but ultimately, like, what are our kids experiencing? I'm starting to get really passionate about, like, when these parents go home, how are they treating their kids? And ultimately, how are their kids viewing work because of their mommy and daddy's experiences in the workplace?
Yes. You have a whole chapter dedicated to Field of Dreams? You don't?
No,
not in this?
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams. How about the Lion's Den?
Go ahead.
That's something. That's totally something else.
Correct.
Whole different book.
Correct.
I'm looking at the wrong book.
Correct.
There we go. What's, I guess let me half a step back again. What's the take-home message? This isn't going to be solved in a day.
Yeah, people are working 80,000 hours in a lifetime. And so, like, we're going to spend as much time with our coworkers as almost anyone we work with. And so just the significance of how do we as leaders create a place where people thrive in their work and bring their best? Because ultimately, not only does it impact their lives and their families and communities, but it does make us a better organization from a performance perspective as well.
And I guess if I ask the question, who should read your book? Yes, you want the boss to read it, but we employees can probably learn some things too.
Anyone who's a leader or an aspiring leader would be a great person to read the book.
What else do we need to know, Josh?
Work is transformative. It doesn't have to be the four-letter word of our time, and it really can change people's lives. And it's worth doing for the organization, and it's worth doing for the people.
And this is out in March, yes?
Yeah, March 3rd.
That's going to be a good day. You think there'll be a follow-up book?
When I think about 6 years to write the first book, the next thought of how long it would take, it'd certainly be easier to do it a second time around. But yeah, when I think about the idea that leaders are to equip, encourage, and empower people, that's probably the basis for book number two. But I'm pretty focused on book number one right now.
As you should. Slow down, Shelley. Slow your guests down. Enjoy the moment and raise those kids. Thank you. People Matter at Work. How do we find out more information about your work, Josh?
Yeah, you can go to peoplematteratwork.com is a great starting point, and then you can pick up the book at anywhere books are sold, including Amazon.com.
Great required reading for successful companies. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Shelley.
There is an auto show that's right around the corner. Yep, it's snowing. That's kind of typical for the Michigan International Auto Show in our world. Dawn Baker, Associate Festival Producer, are you ready for Thursday?
Yes, and since you're counting, Shelley, I will tell you that this is our 28th annual Michigan International Auto Show. So the years roll by very quickly, to use some auto show terms. They're speeding by, right? But we are excited to bring this show back to the community. West Michigan is so connected with the auto industry. Various levels of tier 1, 2, and 3 manufacturing companies. We have components that are out on these vehicles that are showcased here that are made by local men and women. It just is really exciting to put a spotlight on what's come together for this year's show.
All right. Give me the specifics. You do open, what, Thursday at 1?
Yes. We open Thursday at 1, and we go to 9 p.m. Friday and Saturday, we're open 10 to 9, and Sunday 11 to 5. And, Shelley, this is over 30 manufacturers that have come together and brought various brands to the show floor. What I love about the event here in Grand Rapids is you have the opportunity to get behind the wheel. Or if you prefer, you can look under the hood. You can open the back and see how it's going to work for various things that you might want to put there, lifestyle, see how it's going to work for your family. You can get in these vehicles. So it's not just coming down and looking at the exterior and the new trim packages and the various incredible colors that they're coming out with, the style. But you can get in and see what the new technology is, the innovation, the connectivity that we now are all looking for. You can be informed about the power and performance of various vehicles. So there is a lot of education, and then we bring some entertainment as well.
Yes, let's go with the entertainment. Who's going to entertain me?
So we have some features that, of course, back by popular demand, right? We always have the $1 million motorway. People love to see those vehicles and dream. And it seems to be a year of Aston Martins because right away, when you walk into the Grand Gallery, you're going to see a 1971 custom Aston Martin DBS that was created by Ring Brothers. It's in the Gentex space. As we know, in this area in West Michigan, Gentex is creating such incredible technology and innovation. And this Aston Martin DBS showcases some of that technology. And then as you walk into the $1 million motorway, we've got 3 more Astons there this year. And my understanding is all 3 have not been debuted in the area, in West Michigan anyway, yet. And so we're excited to showcase those among other brands, including Bentley and Audi and Porsche. You're also going to see some exotic cars out in the Grand Gallery. And, of course, we bring back the classics. So those are also just vehicles to look at. But add to that, that you're going to be able to really get your hands on a different kind of wheel because we've got RC tracks here at the auto show. We have 3 various levels and different challenge levels that people can participate in. So excited about that. There's pedal cars for the little people. And it just is a really great interactive experience. One of the favorite entertaining features that we have every year is the opportunity to win $1,000 from Padnos. They crush a car. And so you're able to look at that crushed cube Make your best guess, make, model, year, and weight as a tiebreaker. And with this many people in our West Michigan and Michigan community that have had a hand in automotive, it is really, the challenge is on, right? It is just such a neat thing. People will be up there, generational families looking at this crushed car and making their best guess. So, Shelley, we try to bring infotainment, lots of information about what's new and what's coming in the automotive industry, and some entertainment to top that off.
So again, entertainment and cars, Michigan International Auto Show, gracing the DeVos Place, Grand Rapids, opening Thursday, of course, running through the weekend, and more. Don Baker, Associate Festival Producer, and more. And it's always nice to have our own backyard representative. You've got the Grand Rapids New Car Dealers Association as one of, looks like, 14 consumer expositions.
Yes, and this year, new at the auto show too, we've got car clubs that are a part of this auto show. But yeah, ShowSpan is here in the community. We are a Grand Rapids company, and we are bringing together businesses that still value that face-to-face, right? And so when you're talking about, oh, I'm looking for someone to repair my vehicle, or I'm looking for someone to buy my vehicle from, or do aftermarket products for my lifestyle on my vehicle, you want to meet those people face-to-face, and that's a foundation for all the ShowSpan events, face-to-face interaction with the community.
And I know you've got experts to answer questions about the cars, some dealers on sites, but as you mentioned, it's a no pressure. Nobody's going to, as you mentioned, run up to me and ask me for an appointment as I get into that car, correct?
Shelley, that's one of the most important pieces, I think, to this auto show, is that you can come get that information. You can get behind the wheel. We were talking about that. And all of this at no pressure. You cannot buy an automobile here at the auto show. It doesn't work that way. But you can get all that information. And it really can be part of your journey, if you will, to your next new car, because you can go from one make and model to another and really try those various things out. Start, you know, kind of eliminating some models, if you will, without having to go from dealership to dealership to dealership. So it really saves you time on that journey of making that next new vehicle purchase.
Cool.
You get to meet a lot of those local dealers.
And it is cool. I mean, as we speak, it's a Tuesday, so I know you're getting ready to move in. And it does seem like it's kind of always snowy this time of year.
Well, that is part of it, right? We're all thinking about, oh my goodness, did I get that heated steering wheel in that last package I had?
Smart.
Do I have the ability to utilize my phone to start my vehicle up so it's warm when I get in there? So all of that technology and innovation you're able to see. And Shelley, before we go, I have to tell you, Subaru Loves Pets is back, and I know that's near and dear to your heart as an animal lover. And so to top it all off, if you will, here at the auto show, we can get some puppy therapy, and you can make application. You can't leave here just like you can't leave with an auto. You can't leave with a puppy, but you can certainly make application and find one that you would love to have as part of your family or life.
Sounds good. Three puppies in the Irwin household's enough for now. Dawn Baker, details one more time for me to and this wonderful community to attend Michigan International Auto Show, please.
We open on Thursday. We are open from 1 to 9, Friday and Saturday from 10 to 9, Sunday 10 to 5. And our parking helps, those tips and tricks, our trolley information. There's a complimentary trolley and a discounted parking lot. All of those details and your tickets at grautoshow.com.
Wonderful. Keep up your superb energy, your passion, and vroom, vroom. We'll see if this is the year Dawn Smith gets her, Dawn Baker gets her next car. Thank you very much, Dawn. You need another vehicle. There you go. And a dog.
Thank you, Shelley.
Bye. Maybe this is my favorite interview of the day. Oh, I just said that because Kylie Ambu's in the house. She's an award-winning colleague, of course, mutually inclusive, close to your heart and more. We put the spotlight on some cross-promotion on an every other week basis, as we should. So here we are. We have another wonderful opportunity to learn topics that might not come to the surface of all outlets. So Kylie Ambu, I'm so glad you're here. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad to be here. I love the chats that we get to have and talk about mutually inclusive. So thanks for having us on.
We know Jennifer Moss, your co-host, our colleague, wonderful work she does as well, seeing her talents on stage. We have a guest on the line that will be included in our conversation. Would you tee us up, Kylie, for the topic of legacy of Black firefighters in Muskegon Heights, please?
Yes, and you said it perfectly. That's exactly what this story is about. We, as a team, we're kind of looking for stories that really highlight our community that don't, we feel, get enough attention. And so we had kind of looked in the history and we saw, oh my goodness, there's been such a legacy of Black firefighters and Black fire chiefs in the city of Muskegon Heights. And so our upcoming program, The Firehouse 4, is really a testament to that. And on the phone, we have Chief Shondrick Roberson, who is the current Muskegon Heights fire chief. But we talk with a handful of others. And so we're really excited to hear their experiences.
Wonderful. Well, we do get the best. Congratulations. Thank you for your service, Fire Chief Shondrick Roberson. You ask us to call you Sean. Hello to you, Chief Sean.
Good morning, and thanks for having me, guys.
Yes, you are quite welcome. Tell us a little bit about your journey to Fire Chief, please.
Well, I started out in law enforcement, and I did roughly 22 years on that side. During that time, I was fortunate enough to go to Fire Academy, and I kind of hem-hawed around about doing the public safety, where it's a combination of police and fire work. And life led me down the path of law enforcement. Well, during this journey, Chief Christopher Dean, which was the chief prior to me, he reached out to me and asked me would I be interested in working for him part-time. And I came on part-time, and I began to fall in love with the service, and I transitioned over, retired out from the law enforcement side of things, and transitioned into a full-time firefighting position and worked my way up through the ranks to currently the fire chief.
Thank you. Kylie?
And I know that Chief Roberson had talked about Christopher Dean, who he took over after. We talk with Christopher Dean as well. We also talk with former chiefs Kenneth Lay and Ivory Morris. Ivory Morris being the first ever Black firefighter and fire chief, not only in the city of Muskegon Heights, but in all of Muskegon County. So it's really amazing, I think, to look at where that journey started for him. And we kind of take it right up to you, Chief Roberson, in terms of, you know, where I think that torch has just completely been passed over and over. And something that you had talked about is, you know, always wanting to leave the place better than you found it. Can you expand on that a bit?
Absolutely. I think it's important for us to always look for the best in anything that we're a part of, and you always want to leave something better than you found it. And it may be something as simple as, you know, add one more staff member, or it could be something as great as building a new fire station and totally equipping the fire station with all new apparatus. But whatever it is, you know, I truly believe in my heart of hearts that you have to always leave the place better than you found it, whether it's putting a new coat of paint on the walls or whatever it may be, whatever, you know, your goal and vision is, you should work hard and diligently during your time in the seat to make it better, you know. And for us, I think a big part was to diversify our profession and add women to the fire department and to working shifts and, to much hard work, we have finally got our first female that is full time, that works a full time shift. She just started January 3rd with us. Previously, we had the fire marshal, but that was a job that was a Monday through Friday job, and it was only during the day. Well, we finally got our first female firefighter who stays at the firehouse for 24 hours. So, I'm really proud of that. You know, also we've reached out to the Hispanic demographic, and we have hired a few of our Hispanic brothers and sisters to join us in this great profession. So it's fulfilling.
Thank you, Fire Chief Sean Derrick. We'll call you Sean Roberson with us, part of the legacy of Black firefighters in Muskegon Heights as part of the mutually inclusive lineup of stellar guests and stories. A follow-up question, Kylie, please.
Yeah, I'm so glad that Chief Roberson talked about just all the work he'd done, because you've done so much more than just put on a fresh coat of paint in the firehouse. I guess my question is, you know, what made you so passionate when I called and said, Can we talk to you? Can we tell you this story? And you rounded up just a great group of guys to share their legacy.
Well, not only am I from this community, I'm passionate about the people I serve in public service. But, you know, the biggest thing is, and like I spoke to during the interview, was, you know, in 100 years, I won't, you know, people to look back and see what this was like in this moment. We, as all things, kind of get lost in time, you know. Most people don't know their great-great-grandfather, you know. Mm-hmm. They only hear. So to be able to have a documentary to where, you know, the people that's in your lineage that you never meet, we'll be able to see what you did and where they came from. And I think to capture Chief Ivory Morris was a huge, huge thing for me, because he is, you know, like I said, he was a pioneer. He broke the barriers and, you know, led the way. And like I said in that interview, if it wasn't for him, it would be no me. And I truly, truly appreciate the hard work and the sacrifices and the things he had to endure to get to where we are today.
Thank you for those words. When do we get to see Chief Roberson and his crew on TV, Kylie?
Well, that is the most exciting part, is that it's coming up tomorrow. So it will air on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. on WGVU PBS. That is Channel 35 for the Grand Rapids area. And we'll also have it on our YouTube page as well, WGVU with Mutually Inclusive. We'll also be sharing some snippets on Facebook. So, you know, we're everywhere. Just be sure to watch out and give it a like and a share and give it a watch.
I always like to end with this, Chief. How can the community help?
The community can help by just being supportive of your local fire department and your public safety as a whole, your EMS system, the police department. Just do your part, shovel out around hydrants and be proactive and just be a good neighbor, and let's help one another, and we're all in this together.
Thank you very much. You take care. We'll see you tomorrow. All right, Kylie Ambu, more information on Mutually Inclusive, again, on a weekly roll you are?
We are in a weekly roll. If you're not familiar with Mutually Inclusive, we are a television show here at WGVU that really tries to uplift voices in our community that have often been underrepresented. So we're excited to partner with neighbors just like you to do this work. We will air every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. on WGVU PBS. And we've got lots more topics coming up, so be sure to tune in.
So we'll talk again. There we are. Kudos to you and Jennifer and, of course, the Chief for tomorrow's edition. You take care.
Thank you.
Your inspiration for the day, according to Haruki Murakami, what happens when people open their hearts? They get better. There we are. Hope you enjoy the show. Have a good day. I'm Shelley Irwin.